Vladimir Voinovich is a Soviet writer now living in exile in West Germany. His first novel since being expelled from Russia is called Moscow 2042. Our book critic John Leonard says this political satire, which includes time travel and tales of exile, begins where Animal Farm left off.
They kicked Vladimir Voinovich out of the Soviet Union in 1980 because he made fun of them, all of them. The Red Army and the housing shortage, literary careerists, collective farmers, secret police, mothers who name their newborn twins Overtake and Surpass, and Moscow intellectuals who discuss the best way to have sex with a chicken. Russian writers who make jokes are always compared to Gogol. This is unfair to Voinovich. Gogol was sicker and gloomier. Gogol strangled cats and was afraid of caterpillars. Voinovich is a subversive giggler. In his several novels about the stumpy, lop-eared, knobby-headed, blissfully innocent and invincibly ignorant Private Ivan Chonkin, he plants booby traps. Language explodes. The state doesn't so much wither away as it is hollowed out and then tickled to death. Voinovich reminds me more of Dostoevsky at his most playful. We tend to forget that Dostoevsky, who read most of Dickens, had a slapstick side. Voinovich slaps and snaps a lot of sticks. Moscow 2042 is a parody of Orwell's 1984. A Russian writer in Western exile named Vitya is very much like Voinovich himself and flies 60 years into the future to find out what's happened to communism. His way is paid by the CIA, although there are other interested parties, including the Arabs and another Soviet writer in exile named Sim. Sim, with his pan-Slavic mysticism, his North American fortress, his hatred of rock music, and his megalomania, will remind you immediately of Solzhenitsyn. I won't tell you everything that's going on in the future, just a little bit. As we might expect from Voinovich, even totalitarianism is a shambles. There is perfect communism in only one city, and that is Moscow, surrounded by rings of varying hostility. The names of the streets have, of course, been changed again, and the food is even worse, especially the vegetarian pork chop. Life is divided into primary and secondary matter, which refers not only to the waste cycle, but to art and rhetoric as well. There is no music allowed, except for a weird Ukrainian folk singer who follows Vitya through time and space. All is ruled by a genialissimo, the ultimate and immortal leader, who looks down, like a fish in an aquarium, from a space satellite. Meanwhile, waiting in the wings is the last of the Romanovs, who is none other than Sim, the sort of Solzhenitsyn, frozen by cryogenics, and with his white horse stashed like a popsicle in a Swiss bank vault, ready to lead Russia back into the Middle Ages. The rub here is that the Muscovites of 2042 have already read the book that Vitya will write when he gets back from his trip to the future. They want him to revise and delete certain passages so as to eliminate certain historical possibilities. He has more problems out of time than, say, Michael J. Fox or Kathleen Turner. But history and literature and laughter and pluralism win. Communism and Solzhenitsyn and the CIA and even Orwell lose. And I had a grand, wicked time. Imagine, if you can, S.J. Perlman writing the libretto for Wagner's Ring Cycle.
Fresh Air's book critic John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday.